Thank you, everybody, for joining me, whether you are listening on my podcast or you are watching here on YouTube. It has been a very, 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 very long time since I have posted online up until last Wednesday, I believe that is the 4th, where I made a short post on Instagram and subsequently have posted a little bit on Instagram. But I wanted to kind of share with everybody else that follows me on these other mediums, platforms, what has been going on since I last spoke with everybody. So a lot has happened. Last year, by far, probably was the most difficult and trying year of my 44 years on this planet. There are many reasons for this, but I will kind of start at the beginning and then, as best as I can, speed up through some areas of it and then kind of get to where we are. So, towards the end of 2021, I had gone for a PRP treatment to treat my hair loss, as I've been doing since 2009, to Dr. Greco in Florida. Felt like in January of 2022. I hope I got that date. January 2022, I was like feeling like things were kind of on a good track, you know, better than they had been in a while. And so everything's going along. And then February 5th, actually, of last year, my father passed away. And things became a cascade of downhillness after this. I spent a period of time staying at my mother's house 24/7, but her house for me is very allergic because I'm allergic to everything. So, and she has two dogs and stuff like that. And it was just a very allergic environment. It was also, obviously, you know, there's a lot going on because my dad had died, and I also felt I needed to be there. I even though I was experiencing difficulty with my asthma, like immediately pretty much, and my allergies, I did not want to leave. So I stayed there for as long as I could until it was like the point that I thought that if I didn't say something, like I gotta, you know, go back to my apartment and then come in the day and stuff like that, that I was actually going to have to be hospitalized. So my health was really declining at rapid speed, and the stress and everything that was happening was a lot for me, my body, my mind. So a couple weeks, I want to say within by March, I noticed that my hair was falling out tremendously, like all over the place. Like there's sheds and then there's the shed to end all sheds, you know. Right before this happened, I had someone in the apartment unclog my shower drain after living here for years, like 5. And it was the first time they had to come and unclog the drain because I keep my hair so short, you know, it's like really short. You know, it would take a lot to clog the drain. And within about 1 or 2 months, the water was rising in my shower for kind of some, you know, perspective on how much my hair was actually shedding. And I was aware of it. I've also can't, you know, I, you know, it's like you, it's happening or whatever. It's disturbing you and you're dealing with a lot of other stuff too and trying to take care of other people as well. Between the assault of the allergens on my system, the stress, just everything hitting me. Apparently, this is kind of the theory behind it, which kind of just came to, you know, realization, let's say, in November when I saw a dermatologist in Newport. Basically, my hair started falling out, let's say, in the beginning of March, and it just didn't stop. Like, it just was nonstop. There was no break. If there was supposed to be the, you know, stress and then 6 months later, it's going to stop, whatever. This thing did not stop. I went for PRP in March. It did not stop it. I went for PRP in July. It did not stop it. This thing is a runaway train. And, you know, quite frankly, I've never experienced anything quite like this since I started losing my hair in 1999. This is foreign, unknown. This is uncharted territory. I'm familiar with sheds. I'm familiar with progressive thinning. I'm familiar with accepting basically nothing, you know, that qualifies as hair and being okay with it. This was expressing itself in what is a different way, where it was just like, where you could count the hairs in an area basically and continual. And it was just like, finally, you know, at the end of November, I saw a dermatologist in Newport, and she used a dermoscopy, which they use to look at your follicles and to diagnose. There's also, of course, a scalp biopsy, which I had intended to have done, but she truly believed it wasn't necessary, because when you have a scalp biopsy done, you know, they have to take it from where the issue is being expressed. You know, for female pattern baldness, they can probably take it from wherever, I assume, you know. But that can also be done, you know, with the use of like seeing if there's miniaturized hairs. But in my case, she would have had to have taken it where the most hair loss is occurring, which is on the sides of my head and my hairline moving back very thin. Like basically looks like the temples have been carved out and the hairline moved back. So she would have to take it. It could leave a scar. You know, I had no idea about that, by the way. I just thought like they take it from the nape of the head and what's the big deal, whatever. But yeah, I mean, I get it if they're going to pull it off from the side, but I was willing to do it if it would help. And, you know, I kind of just wanted to know what was going on. It really wasn't going to change my situation because I'm not treating my hair loss, you know, systemically anymore. I made that choice a long time ago. I'm okay with PRP, cut my hair short. I wear my wigs, have my way that I live my hair loss life. And I'm okay with that. But I was like, I kind of want to know what's going on. And so she had, you know, looked with the dermoscopy and basically saw what were the markers of alopecia areata. But not all alopecia areata is how some people who are familiar with it think of it, you know, where you get immediately like that, the slick bald patch and or all over very quickly. There is something called diffuse alopecia areata or alopecia areata incognita. And I had something here to read to you guys. Incognito, my bad. And I don't even know if the diffuse and the incognito are the same. They kind of seem to be used interchangeably, but they may be different. But anyways, the yellow dots, she saw the yellow dots, the exclamation point hairs, and also I think it's called dystrophic. Is it dystrophic hairs? Like, anyways, I'm going to read you this from Jeff Donovan's website about alopecia areata incognito. Most forms of alopecia areata are easy to diagnose. However, one form is not. Alopecia areata incognito, which some pair together with so-called diffuse alopecia areata, is the most difficult type of alopecia areata to diagnose. A number of dermoscopic features support a diagnosis, including yellow dots, regrowing hair, dystrophic hairs, exclamation hairs, and black dots. Unfortunately, all these features are not always present. So I had the yellow dots, the dystrophic hairs, and the exclamation point in the areas that she saw with the most significant loss. Again, this is not female. I mean, I have female pattern baldness. This is a whole different animal. In my opinion, this is still reading from Jeff Donovan's site. In my opinion, most cases of diffuse alopecia areata I see have a unique feature that I have traditionally called wimpy hairs. These hairs are short and fine and refuse to grow straight up. They're very different than the strong, thick, pointy, upright, regrowing hairs seen in Telogen effluvium. Rather, these wimpy hairs twist and turn and flop over all over the scalp. Many such hairs are seen in the photo, and there's a photo here. And treatment includes potential topical steroids and steroid injections. So she had wanted me to consider, she immediately came up with, well, one, steroid injections. Okay, so that's like, I guess, main way they treat it. And then she had also suggested going on oral minoxidil. When she mentioned it, I was immediately like, no. I don't want to treat my, you know, female pattern baldness, and I don't want to treat my, yeah, I just don't want to take a medicine. But she's, you know, suggested that this would help to kind of get out of the woods with this inflammatory type of hair loss, basically, and on the right track, in addition to suggesting that I use antihistamines and then consider the consideration of Dupixent, since I would be a candidate for that as someone that has asthma and allergies, which is a shot. Again, the whole aim to bring down the inflammation to treat the alopecia areata, which is very different from treating female pattern baldness. But I guess in some ways similar, since they're using like Rogaine or minoxidil. And then if none of that worked, like way down, like a JAK inhibitor, like Olumiant. So I'm just like a little bit deer in headlights on this appointment, kind of trying to take it all in, because where do I go from here? I've made the decision to not treat my hair loss in the past. Everybody pretty much knows, except for what I was comfortable with, which was PRP therapy. But now I'm like, how do I just get back to my regular crappy hair loss? How do I just get back to the way that I got used to living with hair loss, which took a lot to adjust to, which took a lot to accept. And, you know, having the use of like, you know, the hair around the ears, and then also a little bit, doesn't have to be tons, but some of the hairline helps me blend my wigs. And most people with female pattern baldness, such as myself, you do maintain the integrity of the hairline to some degree, and usually around the ears. So, but that is what went bye-bye last year. So it changed everything, even how I feel comfortable in wearing my wigs. Just, it's like, it's not starting over, but it's getting used to something else. And that was a lot to deal with, in addition to just dealing with what I mentioned earlier and other things in life. So initially, I was kind of on the fence with this, thinking, well, it was also suggested to use ketoconazole and something else that I'm forgetting right now, another shampoo, but basically, again, to treat the inflammation on the scalp. You know, this, again, treating alopecia areata, which I'm not familiar with at all because I have not had this type of hair loss, is you're treating inflammation in the body as well as, you know, topically and then systemically as well. So that's just something completely brand new to me. I filled a prescription at the beginning of December, and I've had it since then, not taking it, not wanting to take it. I had two rounds of steroid injections, and, you know, the second time she's like, did you start the oral minoxidil? And I said, no, I'm not really comfortable. I'm still thinking about it, which I'm glad I did, because it took a little self-reflection to really hone in on what I wanted to do, what I needed to do for me in a situation where you're kind of, you know, deer in headlights moments. And I think a lot of women dealing with hair loss have those deer in headlights moments. You're apt to make snap decisions that you would not otherwise make if you had more time and like a peace in your mind to kind of process. We just want to act quickly. And even though I had already been dealing with this for 24 years, and even though I treated my hair loss for 13 years, and I got off my last medication in 2013 and worn wigs since 2012, I still had that deer in headlights moment. I still was confronted with that, where it wasn't so immediate that I was like, oh, no. Because now the marker moved, right? Now I was used to living with hair loss the way that I've become accustomed to living with it. You know, cutting my hair off, shaving the back, wearing my wigs, accepting it. Truly, truly accepting it. But this was something else. This is something else entirely. So it was like the marker moved. Now I wanted to get back to where I was, and now we're somewhere else. How can I get back there? The answer to that is I may or may not get back there. With alopecia areata, it by itself can't actually turn around. It may not turn around. The steroid injections are aimed to help that. And, you know, the other things she suggested were as well, I guess, including the oral minoxidil. But I made a decision when I got off of 200 milligrams of Aldactone that I had been on for 13 years and felt horrible taking this medication. My hair loss progressed the entire time. I had no way to know if it was actually working for me. There is no way to know, because I don't know how bad I would have been without it. I just know that my hair loss continued to progress pretty significantly, in my opinion. And here I am taking, as a young person, a very high dosage of a blood pressure pill. I was scared to get off of it. I felt trapped on it. And for years and years and years, I didn't want to take that medication, but I continued to take it because I felt trapped. And I never want to put myself in that position again. You know, I do PRP knowing that if I stop PRP, whatever benefits I received are going to go away. It's the same for any hair loss medication, anything whatsoever. You know, even if you got nothing from it and you got off, it can still cause a shed. So even if Aldactone was doing nothing for me, it could have had an effect on my body where I would shed. When I got off, I structured it around PRP. And by that time, in 2003, I'd already been wearing wigs for 1 year. And I was like, I'm just going to take the jump off that cliff and see what happens. And just, you know, I felt like, okay, here, I'm going to do it. And it ended up being fine. Honestly, I didn't really have a significant shed coming off of it, that high dose. Maybe the PRP padding around it helped it. Maybe it didn't. I don't know, but it did work out. And I was free. I was, for the first time, free from any medication and feeling really good in my wigs, because wigs were able to help me to get to see myself the way I was before I started losing my hair. And it was kind of all coming together, and it did come together. You know, it took time to learn to wear hair, and then telling people, and, you know, learning to just adapt to this new way of living, cutting my hair off shorter and shorter and shorter over time. And just getting to a place where it was like, okay, this is my new normal. This is it, you know? And I knew my hair, and I know my hair with female pattern baldness was going to continue to progress till I'm no longer on this earth, you know? Even with PRP, it continued to progress. It's a progressive disorder, and PRP did not halt it, but I believe that it slows the progression. I believe that it improves the quality of the hair it has for me. Some of the efficacy of it had gone down for me in the last several years anyways, but even so, I was still good with what was going on. I have my program. This is how I live with my hair loss. This is how I live my life. And I'm not afraid if anybody knows that I have hair loss or I wear wigs. I'm fine with it. But here we have this new situation. You know, and so after a month, I guess up into about a few days ago, really, I did make a story on Instagram about this. While this is a different situation, it's because I'm dealing with something else. It's changing how I have to live with my hair loss now. It's changing how my wig life to some degree. I realize that it's different, but it's not different because I don't want to take a medication. I am not willing to take a medication, a pill, every day for the rest of my life to treat hair loss. Full stop. That's my female pattern baldness, and that's also for the alopecia areata, however far it might progress, which I have no idea. Is it scary? Of course it is. But I have had hair loss for 24 years. I have worn wigs since 2012. I am already so far down the line in this and finding a way to live with this, and also cutting my hair off to ridiculous short length. I mean, I've given myself a haircut for the last 3 years, if you can call it a haircut, where it's basically like a shaved back. I'd like to say that it was longer in the front, but with this, by the way, the other thing that happened with this that was strange is like the growth halted. Nothing has come in. So it's only like coming out. Nothing is literally coming in. So like the length, the growth of it is basically so slow. I can't even explain how slow the growth is of the hair that is on my head that is length to it. But like no short hair is coming in, and it was the growth rate is painfully slow. Since I'm not willing to do that, I wasn't willing to do that for my female pattern baldness because of the reasons that I have shared. That does not change with this new diagnosis. That does not change what I need to do. I know for myself, long term, it's easy to do something, not easy, but it's maybe makes sense sometimes short term to make something happen. But what is it long term? And you know, you always have to think of the end. And I always have told people when they're like, should I do this or shouldn't I do this? Should I get on this or shouldn't I do that? I have said, based on my own experience, make the decision that you can live with. Think about it. Really think about it. Really think about now, the end, what can happen, what may not happen, you know, 5 years, 10 years, because we're not thinking that in the first 30 days. We're not thinking that in the first 6 months. But there may come a time where you are thinking about that and you've regretted. You'll have regrets like I did. Like I wish I never got on Aldactone. When I was thinking about my own advice of make the decision you can live with, that would be not to take this medication. So I do have a third appointment in the end of January to see this dermatologist who will ask me if I have taken it. I have not. What am I willing to do? The steroid injections, which are now done every 6 weeks. It was four weeks between the 1 and 2 and 6 between the 2 and 3. And then it's still going to be 6 weeks. That's not without its side effects as well, but I'm willing to accept that one. Again, think about what you can live with. Delayed my period first, like for like 10 days. I thought like this is menopause now because I had no idea I could do that. It can also cause at higher dosages. I'm having a small dose, but it can cause pitting in the like divots, like dimpling in the areas of the scalp that should come back or fill out within, I guess, 6 weeks or whatever. Don't quote me on that, but that's basically the gist of that. And the other side effects, headaches and, you know, other things that probably go on with, I mean, yeah, you're shooting it into your scalp, but obviously it's going into your system, and so much so that it delayed my period 10 days. Again, this was one I was willing to do to try to get the alopecia areata aspect under like control or like fixed, you know, I don't know a good way to put that, but back, just get back to my regular crappy hair loss, you know, hair, you know, my female pattern baldness, get back to that world. I was willing to give this a shot. So I'm going to continue on with that. And again, just work on decreasing overall inflammation in my body, since this was likely triggered, she believes, by the massive assault on my immune system. It just, I mean, I do have a picture of how my face looked during this time that I will put on the video here for you guys to see. You know, I do have rosacea, I do have eczema, I do have massive allergies, like crazy, so much so sometimes I don't think people believe how bad they actually are when I say I'm allergic to everything or I'm allergic to air. And, you know, depending on how good my system is doing, I really am very allergic to everything. And so she believes, based on the assault on my, you know, the asthma, my allergies, you know, everything, the attack on my system, body and mind, triggered this episode of alopecia areata. So it obviously is, I guess, in my family, because both of my brothers actually had patches of alopecia areata on their beard. And I have a cousin in Panama that she had a full-blown patch on her head of alopecia areata. So it's in my family. I just have not experienced it until now. So it's a little bit all over the place and a little bit here or there. But what I do hope that people can take away from this is a couple of things. One, it is possible to actually get two types of hair loss. I had no idea you can actually have two types. So I have female pattern baldness. That's the 24-year-old one. And I have now alopecia areata that I hope resolves. It may or may not. And also to really take a lot of time, you know, when you're considering a medication, because a lot of people aren't like doing this the second time around like I am. Like, this came to pass for me two times where I had been put in this position. They're at the first time and they're wondering what they should do. And, you know, I'm not against treating hair loss. I just think women have to make informed decisions, whatever they're going to choose to do. There are women that get results on Rogaine. There are women that get results on oral minoxidil. There are women that get results on spironolactone. You know, obviously, PRP. I'm a huge proponent of PRP. So, you know, it's finding the treatment that works for you and knowing whether you are willing to continue it. And if you get benefits, you will have to continue it for life. You want to maintain those benefits. And just knowing what can happen coming on, coming off, you know, how will I feel about being on this, you know, six years down the line? You know, really give it some thought and don't make snap decisions. We're so quick to want to just jump and treat and throw the kitchen sink at it or whatever and get out of that situation. Female pattern baldness is progressive. It can be slowed. You can get regrowth, but this is progressive, you know. So how you choose to deal with that and have that work for you is going to be very different than somebody else. I knew that my hair will never, and it's been quite like forever, like it's never going to be like the wig on my head, no matter what. There's no treatment on the planet that can be thrown at me that would happen. Quite honestly, if I truly believed that a medication was going to completely restore the level of this level that I'm wearing a wig right now. If you're watching on the podcast, you can't see it, but you know, this level of hair, basically like, you know, the hair that I had before I started losing my hair, then, you know, I may be more apt to take it, but that's never going to happen. And I have found a way to feel good without having to rely 100% on my bio hair and accepting that it's going to basically be like crappy hair or whatever. So for me, you know, making a decision to take a medication to, even though I have a new type of hair loss, it doesn't make any sense. It really just doesn't, because no matter what, in the best case scenario, I'm still going to be wearing wigs. If you are in a situation where you're trying to make your own hair work, your own bio hair work, you don't want to wear a wig, you are on board with treating it, you are okay, you know, with everything surrounding it, you want to give it a shot, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with wanting to treat your hair loss. There's also nothing wrong with wanting to treat your hair loss and wear wigs, which I have treated my hair loss with PRP every 4 to 5 months since 2009. So you can do both. It's not one, it's not the other. It's just finding a way to make it work for you. So I will have to see how this ends up being when I pull the headset off and I turn the camera off. We hope it recorded. And I thank you guys for sticking with me and listening to this very, very, very long update. Love you guys. So just a final note, you can see this podcast on my YouTube channel, Women's Hair Loss Project. You can also follow me on Instagram for updates at WHLP Network. And my website is womenshairlossproject.com. Talk to you guys soon. Bye.